Exotic.
Scott Walker gets to be king for a day in Wisconsin anyway. Tuesday he wins his recall race. After all the money that was thrown at this thing, what a waste for the taxpayers in a sense. Walker, after all, was trying to save jobs, and the union was pushing back on what he was trying to do. Because you have to swing an axe sometimes once the government is bleeding and you don't have a balanced budget. Imagine that. It's like a dirty word to say balanced budget. What are you talking about? Debt, baby. It's all about debt. Kate Delaney's my name, and this show is America Tonight. You can always throw in your two cents. The road is long and windy, and we like our friends to come along and chat with us. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-KATE. So, he survives the recall election. It ends months of just bitter divisiveness that started when the state scaled back union rights and said, you got to pay a little bit for this health care. We can't shoulder this burden. Same thing on a couple of other things, like talking about pensions and whatnot. Does this mean there will be other challenges in other states? Look at California. Governor Jerry Brown, we had a show where so many of you called in to offer your suggestions to California. California, it might as well just be cut off and float into the ocean. It is really that bad there. Even no matter what you read, it's 10 times worse. And they are trying to tax people up to their eyeballs, and they can't afford it. Doesn't matter. From somewhere in the middle class to somewhere a little bit above that, they are dancing on the thinnest line possible, probably more than any other state. So as that brawl continues in California, and you have California cities approving pension cuts for city workers, and you have Jerry Brown under fire for a lot of that nonsense that's happening, it's a good day on Tuesday and into Wednesday for Scott Walker. And I think it's a good day for the taxpayers across America, because trust me, you don't want to have to pay more freight for unions that are bigger, badder, and not very helpful to the lowly members who are part of the crew for the most part. Not every union, but let's say 89% to 90%. That's what's happened. So the pendulum has swung so far in the opposite direction that I say bravo for Walker that he was able to stand his ground and weather the storm. Maybe this will help, frankly, as I said, other states. You might look at it through a different pair of eyes. 855-266-KATE. Walker, 53% of the vote. Barrett, 46, give or take. Because, you know, pretty much that's almost all the precincts reporting, though. You know how that can change a little bit. But he definitely has won this. There's no question about it. I think one of the funniest moments of the day, for me anyway, was when I got a text from a friend that's a Republican strategist who sent me, you're not going to believe what Clinton just said. The former president said on Tuesday that broad tax cuts that expire at the end of the year, meaning the Bush tax cuts, right? That's what they're called, the Bush tax cuts. If they expire, it'd be disastrous pretty much for the middle class. His specific words were this: what I think we need to do is find some way to avoid the fiscal cliff, to avoid doing anything that would contract the economy now, and then deal with what's necessary in the long term. So not agreeing with Obama, who's opposed renewing the tax reductions for people that earn over $250,000 a year, saying they got to contribute more because of our federal deficits. They got to shell out more do-re-mi. And most likely, none of this is dealt with anyway until after the election. Clinton, by the way, was a guest on Closing Bell on CNBC. That's where all of that came from. So reductions in income tax rates and some of the other things that happened under George Bush will expire, of course, in January, at the same time that $1.2 trillion in automatic spending cuts would start to take effect. A lot of that has to do with defense. And I think that those tax cuts will get extended. I believe, like Clinton says, it's not going to happen until after the election. Because everything now is all about the election, the election, the election, the election, meaning the presidential election. It's not about moving forward on any of this legislation, because you've really got a lame duck session of Congress that's addressing a bunch of different issues, whether, you know, the whole debt ceiling thing, the Bush tax cuts, the, will we see it end with a one-year Social Security payroll tax cut? And how about the cuts in Medicare reimbursements to doctors? I mean, there's a lot hanging out there in the balance. But, of course, there's a lot hanging out in the balance, because when you don't deal with things, that's what happens. And then it gets pushed off, and you got to deal with it anyway. All of us in our own personal lives know what I'm talking about. On a small scale, what's the worst thing you can do? It's when you don't deal with what's flat out in front of you. And we all know about budgets. And you know what? It doesn't go away. And unfortunately, when you hear the scary news, when you hear that we're talking about where we're going to be debt-wise coming up in another 15 years, I mean, how do any future generations really survive and thrive? The answer is you really have to be wealthy. It's coming down to that. Speaking of you have to be wealthy, boy, that's just like in England. I was reading the Union Jack today. I happened to be in a pub eating my plate of vegetables, and they had Union Jacks all over the table. So I scooped one up, and it said in the headline, "Congratulations to Her Majesty on her 60 years of service." They had a picture of her when she was young and took over, and boy, she doesn't look like the same Elizabeth today. But she was just a child, pretty much, when she took over the throne. Here's what she had to say about what people are doing with her Diamond Jubilee.
"I will continue to treasure and draw inspiration from the countless kindnesses shown to me in this country and throughout the Commonwealth. The events that I have attended to mark my Diamond Jubilee have been a humbling experience. It has touched me deeply to see so many thousands of families, neighbors, and friends celebrating together in such a happy atmosphere."
A happy atmosphere. Of course, because they got to have a reason to celebrate in England. My goodness, there's you want to talk about someplace you don't want to be when it comes to taxes. I would have to say England. Yes, if you have serious money. No, if you do not. And the Olympics are coming up, and I'm wondering about the Olympics, the amount of police at the Olympics that they have to have. I mean, they've had riots before they've had to deal with in the UK. They're talking about the amount they have to assign, like 12,500 plus, probably a little bit more than that. But, you know, God save the Queen. God saved Wisconsin, I think. However, dealing with the aftermath is going to be pretty tough. Walker was smart to say, listen, let's work together. I'm going to talk to Barrett. It's all good. He tried to quell the fears of the crowd supporting him. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. hempusa.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Some great guests for you. I hope you are wide awake and you're going to pay attention because you will really enjoy the guests, including Brian Daugherty, who followed Ron Paul for a year. And he talks about Ron Paul's movement, the movement that he's leading with between the younger people and other people mixed in who agree with a lot of what Ron Paul says. He points to in UCLA, 7,000 people showed up for a rally. Also, what's happening with Ron Paul, some of the things that are going to be conducted, rallies and marches outside of the convention in Tampa. And we are also chatting with Dr. Nick Pappas about the situation at Penn State now that trial is set to get underway. At least the jury selection is there. They're going to hear opening arguments next Monday, they hope, the judge thinks. So Dr. Nick Pappas has written a book about that whole deal, about what's happening in athletics. He was an athlete himself at Penn State, went on to be a professor, and talks about things and signs to look for and things that he's quite honestly has seen happen along the way, so that it's no shocker that this is part of what's going on in athletics. Oof. And you won't want to miss Dr. Pappas. He's coming up in our third segment this hour. Brian Daugherty in the last segment on Ron Paul. All right, before we get there, though, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Yes, indeed. This one comes to us from Mo in Missouri. Mo says, yay, Walker wins, Walker wins, Walker wins. Delaney, aren't you excited about that? I think that this makes a big statement for the unions. I've listened to you talk about that before, about the fact that you were in a union for a short amount of time and how unions vary from place to place, but unions have become so big and out of control that it's killing everybody else who's paying taxes from the private sector. What say you, mighty lady? All right, Mo from Missouri, thanks. I say exactly that, that if I go back in history and I think of, you know, the women who were in the factories, like the Triangle Factory, remember that big, huge fire in New York killed so many women? They were so greedy in the fashion industry when they first started in the United States, and people were crammed in sewing in these factories and whatnot. And then in the meatpacking industry and other industries, so it led to the whole union thing. But, of course, union bosses, some of them were on the take. I'm not saying all of them, but some of them were on the take, getting big, big, that money, and everybody underneath was not getting that money. And, you know, there's something about that. It's like charities. Charities, for example, I know I'm veering off, but just bear with me for a second. It's like Children International. I've been involved with them for 7 years. I don't get anything from personally, financially, from being involved with them, but I like them. They're reputable. Why? Because the majority of the money goes to the kids. It does not go to fund someone's fifth car or their second house on a lake somewhere. So I think with the unions, I know they're not nonprofits, and I'm not saying, because I believe in capitalism, that people shouldn't make a decent salary at the top, but they're gouging us. And now it's led to the collapse of what we've seen in the United States. Because from state to state, they're having the same problem, and they're strangled by the unions. All right, let's move on to another one. This one comes to us from Yao, listening in Vermont. Boy, Vermont people really email the show. Yao says, hello, America, tonight. Wow, recall done. It did not work. Good for Scott Walker. I bet it was tiresome to deal with all the nonsense that was being thrown at him. So the people in Wisconsin will have to live with it or move. Yeah, live with it or move. Well, see, it's the same thing. It depends on your perspective. Now, it is kind of a bummer, isn't it, if you're like a young teacher and you hear these stories of how people moved up through the ranks and they have these great retirements and, oh, so sorry, you came along at the wrong era. But that's it. And the problem is, also with the unions, in Walker's case, he specifically said, let's save some jobs. We got to make some cuts here. So you're going to have to take these cuts. No, they didn't want to take the cuts. So forget it. Just, you know, let people lose their jobs. I hope it's not me. I don't think it's going to be me. I have too much seniority. So let the other people fall off the map. That shows you how much they care for the rest of the people in the union. By the way, the union membership is tanked. It's like down 50% for the public sector unions. So that if you're running a union somewhere, these people running unions, big unions I'm talking about, like the teachers union in New Jersey, for example, or in Chicago, they might be a little bit worried about that. Because, you know, if it's not doing anything for you, why should people pay the union dues? Why should they be in the unions? The union that I was in, by the way, was the Broadcasters Union and the Actors Union, AFTRA. And the reason I was in it is because I had to be in it. You were forced. You had to work in New York at WFAN. You had to be part of the union. So your dues were $1,000. Was the first to get in was $1,000. And the program then was good because you had health care that was good and other things that were pretty good down the line. As in broadcasting is very inequitable what happens with some people. But you had no choice. You're not in the union, you're not working in the shop. That was that simple. They had a lot of power, as you can imagine, in New York City. Walt Disney has introduced new, what they're calling new standards for food advertising on the kids' television programming to promote healthier eating habits. They are saying that they're going to do this at theme parks, they're doing it already, and they're trying to have the calorie content, the sugar, the salt, all that stuff on the TV channels and the sites. So, can you imagine? You used to watch that, and they would be pushing every sugary cereal you can imagine. Bob Iger, the Disney chief exec, said the emotional connection between Disney characters and its younger consumers given an opportunity to encourage healthy eating. Oh, the Obamas are all over this. Michelle Obama said that this is a game changer for health of the kids. It's a major U.S. company. It's a global brand changing the way they do business so kids can lead healthier lives. I told you the story because we got an email here from Pokerface who says, Disney equals Downer equals Michelle Obama. And that was it. So Downer, I guess, in the sense of what, telling the kids what the when you're two. That has 25 calories more than you need for the day. I mean, I'm making fun, but I don't know. As somebody who's not had, who does not have a child, I have a nephew, I have nieces, and I hope to have a child. And so here's the thing. We used to drop food on the floor, and if it was on the floor for five, you know, you're a kid, you drop something, I don't know, a French fry, a hot dog, or whatever. It's on the floor for 2 seconds. You know that 5-second rule? Now, talk about nanny state. You have to take the wipes and wipe everything off. What do you have to measure out every single thing the kid has? I get healthy eating, but ridiculous eating? You kids can't have fun. You can't have some crap once in a while. But, you know, good for Disney, I guess, in a sense, because it's they can do what they want with their commercials. So they must have another way around the money problem, because I guarantee they're not cutting out those brands. Probably the brands are agreeing to it, and they think it'll help them, too. That's what I think. Because there's no way Bob Iger, who's brilliant at running these companies, there's no way he's going to take less money. Oh, we're going to just get rid of all the advertising we have because we think we have enough money. No way. That means that probably those advertisers are changing or they're willing to play along and think that this is the way the world is going. So if everybody is on this whole anti-sugar thing and we can't have this advertising out there, if they're all playing along, then they still would have the same amount of money. Pardon me for being just a tad cynical. All right, some great guests coming up in the wings. Don't want to miss it. Talking a little politics, talking about the politics, sadly, of what happens at universities and athletic programs where some predators really dig in and stay there for a very long time and ruin lives. That's coming up around the bend here on ATN.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our 1-year-plus meat eaters units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing LifeStraw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Liquid CalMag Vitamin D and Organic Iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Connexin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course, information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and all those nooks and crannies. We've talked about Jerry Sandusky for a while now. In fact, we threw him, sadly, in our dungeon. And, you know, I'm a big Penn State fan. I have a lot of family members that went there. Six people already have been selected to be jurors in the trial in Pennsylvania of Sandusky. He's, of course, the former Penn State assistant football coach who's been charged with child rape. They had about, what did they tell me the jury pool was today when I talked to someone, 220-some potential jurors that showed up, and they whittled down that number, actually, from about 600 to 650 that they had there answering questions, because they sent questionnaires to prospective jurors' houses, because this is part of the deal, getting the impartial jury, which is admittedly, let's be honest about it, pretty tough when you think of everything that's has gone on in Happy Valley in this past really year and the year plus and the shock with so many people who went to Penn State, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, so now the jury selection is ongoing, and this is, you know, as we said, this has been something that has really rocked not just Penn State, but also other colleges at the collegiate level. People are wondering about other colleges. And beyond that, just what's happening in our neighborhoods, what's happening in our communities. Dr. Nick Pappas joins us. He's joined us here on ATN to talk about some of the causes of the problem, along with other types of sexual deviancy that has been allowed to thrive silently within our own communities, or especially within athletic teams, and we're starting to see some of that come out now. Hey, Doc, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate that.
And you know the sports arena because you're a sports researcher. You're also a counselor and college professor, and you've got a book called The Dark Side of Sports, Exposing the Sexual Culture of Collegiate and Professional Athletes. So it's naive of us to think that this hasn't happened in the past, right?
Yes. You know, based on my findings, it's been going on from the 60s right to 2010. And a lot of my research began during my professional and collegiate career as a player and coach. So I saw things that were going on. I knew things that were going on. You hear things. And then when I started studying this stuff formally and interviewing not only athletes from the sport that I played, which was ice hockey, but other sports, baseball, basketball, football, wrestling, you find out that it can be absolutely rampant within certain athletic teams, and not only at the collegiate and professional level, but beginning in high school as well.
How sad is that? What happens here? Is it a trust thing? Is it afraid to say anything? How does this all start? I know it's different from case to case, but in general, what happens?
Well, there's a thing called athlete privilege that, you know, we start worshiping athletes for what they can do at a very young age. And with that comes a sense of entitlement. And, you know, there are athletes who, you know, believe that they're above the law. You know, they make their own rules. And in essence, some of them, it appears that they do. And when this starts to happen, there becomes an absence of deterrence or a lack of consequences. So coaches begin to look the other way, as well as administrators. And if they do give consequences to athletes, it's just a slap on the wrist. There's also this thing called masculinity and manliness displays that are huge as far as in what goes on in the athlete culture. So sexual conquests are, you know, they get you a lot of status. The storytelling, the humor that goes with it, this is all very status-producing. So there's a lot of bragging rights to go on. And then you add, you know, a little bit of alcohol, which obviously it's not a little bit in the athlete culture, it's a lot. And this reduces inhibitions. Then you have peer pressure to buy into, you know, beliefs and attitudes of what's going on. And then there's the sexually available women aspect, which I have a chapter on that in The Dark Side of Sports, because there are women who make themselves available sexually to athletes in amazing ways. And that begins in high school, increases in college, right through the professional level.
And because of the way the coach and how the coach is revered, Sandusky as an assistant football coach at a university like Penn State, where it's definitely all about football, no question about it. When all of that broke, is it just the culture that you're talking about that there's no way you would step forward and say, hey, this is happening? I mean, why did this take so long to come out?
Penn State is one of my universities I attended. I played hockey there, and I worked 25 consecutive years as a hockey coach at Penn State University. So I came in contact with Jerry Sandusky's group, the Second Mile. Football is the major sport at that institution, and it's an insulated culture to the point that you didn't challenge the powers that be that ran football. And for whatever reason, this stuff allegedly happened,
yeah,
you know, was swept under the carpet for a long time. And, you know, it's behaviors that people in the culture probably didn't want to know about, didn't want to believe that were happening, if they were indeed happening, as this trial will show. And, you know, people look the other way. Now, it's very unfortunate that boys were the targets of this situation, but based on my findings, females have been targeted in all kinds of unimaginable and disturbing ways for the past 45 to 50 years. So if it takes the Penn State sex scandal to open eyes that there's a lot more going on than what meets the eye to these deviant and or aggressive behaviors, it'll be a good thing, because there, you know, my book, The Dark Side of Sports, reveals an array of disturbing practices that you would never believe would be going on as often as they are, let alone the types of behaviors that are going on.
Yeah, when you say disturbing practices, like people were shocked about, showering with one of the athletes, and we just snapped towels. That was one of the things Jerry Sandusky said. Like, it wasn't really that big of a deal. This is part of the culture. I would consider that certainly a disturbing practice, without a doubt. What are some of the other things that you uncovered that were so strange or surprising?
The first chapter of my book describes some of the exhibitionist practices, as well as deviant masturbation practices that target other males as well as teammates. So that those kind of behaviors take place in the all-male culture itself. And the fact that if guys are willing to target each other with some of these distressing behaviors, well, what about females who are casual sexual partners? So when it moves to the targeting of them, you know, it could be competitions to have sex with women. How many can we have sex within a 24-hour period? How many can we have sex within a week? What about a semester, a week, a season's time? And it can be targeting specific women who are blondes, brunettes. It can become very demeaning in the way that they target people with different types of sexual behaviors. So there are a lot of competitions, both formal and informal. They can involve elaborate spreadsheets, no pun intended. They can involve point systems of all kinds. And so it moves to competitions. Then it can move to things like athlete voyeurism, where athletes are actually hiding out in a room to observe a sexual encounter. And unfortunately and disturbingly, athletes then look to join these situations consensually as well as non-consensually. So now you're talking into, if this moves into the realm of group sex or group assault, group sexual assault, when the events are non-consensual, or the female is intoxicated, she doesn't know she's being switched up upon, or it's a darkened room. So there's a number of deviant practices that go on.
Yeah, and there's
athletes
schools
that are very disturbing.
Yeah. What do you think the school should do? I mean, you've seen this. You investigated it. You were an athlete. You certainly, as a college professor, you probably saw certain things. What do you think the school should do? What can they do to try to – I mean, you can never 100% say, and you and I both know this, these are the rules. You cannot break them. You're expelled. This will happen. You're going to be prosecuted. But what can they realistically do?
I think universities have to start bringing in people that have a bond with athletes that were former athletes or coaches to address these things. And they have to be very knowledgeable about what they're addressing. So, you know, you have to have both of those components going, because if you don't have that bond with the athletes, you won't be heard. They'll tune you out. And then you have to be educated to know about these practices so you can address them in the right way. I think coaches and staff also need to be very involved in supporting these ideas and reinforcing them. It doesn't have to be anything long or elaborate, but just reinforcing the fact that, hey, you know, we need excellence to happen both on and off the field, and this includes our treatment and behavior with women. It can involve mentoring programs that are both formal and informal. And I think another component that's important that needs to be emphasized more so is athletes policing their own cultures, where if you know something's going on, you know, address it. You know, stop the situation if it's in progress, but definitely have it addressed within teams so things aren't getting swept underneath the carpet. So that, you know, this thing called intervention means we do something, where too many athletes have watched these situations, watched this deviancy occur. And it's not everybody that's doing it, although some teams it can be rampant, but there are pockets of guys that this stuff has to be addressed. And then I think it's important that we promote this concept of excellence both on and off the field, in multiple aspects of the self, not just we want excellence as this athlete on the field, and that's all we care about, but other aspects of the person have to be emphasized too. And it's about changing the athlete culture, how we think, how the athlete speaks. Speech can be very demeaning to females, and you know, changing this from the coaches through the staff right down to the athletes themselves.
So well said. Dr. Nick Pactis, pick up his book, The Dark Side of Sports, Exposing the Sexual Culture of Collegiate and Professional Athletes. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you very much.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Only Batteries.com is where to turn for all your battery needs. In stock, fresh, guaranteed, fast shipping, non-rechargeable batteries, rechargeable batteries, battery chargers, custom battery packs, all brand names for all the batteries you use at home, the office, the cottage, and the car. Only Batteries.com. Get 25% off using coupon code 7500. Call right now, 1-800-660-7705, or visit OnlyBatteries.com. OnlyBatteries.com. That's OnlyBatteries.com.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with eFoods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control, your greatest dependency, food. eFoods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient-dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with eFoods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best-tasting food you can buy. And the new products and pricing will blow you away. Compared to other food sources, including home-cooked meals, you can cut your food costs in half. You just can't afford to ignore this. Call 800-409-5633. Or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More the best for less guarantee.
That I wobbled in my funk and I'm trembling. That's right, you got me shaking. When you take me in your arms to talk romance, my heart starts doing that Saint Rita dance. And I'm
well, you know, I've talked about this for a long time. So much of what Ron Paul says makes sense, especially when we're talking about our monetary system. And look where we are these days. We just saw the staggering number that the CBO came out with talking about our GDP. And, of course, we talk all the time about what Ron Paul says now. So many people thought before, oh, well, that's just crazy. I don't understand. Why is he saying that? Now people are embracing a lot of his ideas and trying to claim his ideas for their own. That's politics, though, isn't it? And in New Hampshire, I mentioned the fact that so many people were passionate about Ron Paul when we were broadcasting there from that state. So I thought it'd be fun to bring on the show, and especially because I think Ron Paul has a lot of political acumen left, and certainly I believe in Tampa, he's going to have some sway there. But it'd be fun to bring Brian Daugherty on. His latest book is Ron Paul's Revolution, The Man and the Movement He Inspired. Brian, thanks for stopping by here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate. Very glad to be here. I think you hit the nail exactly on the head about why Ron Paul's popularity is growing. It's because he recognized the reality of the problem we're facing long before anyone else did. You know, you can go on YouTube and see him warning about the coming housing boom and bust way back in 2001, and that's a big reason people are looking at him and going, hey, everyone told me 4 years ago this guy was crazy, but he understood things that no other politician seemed to understand, and it wins him a lot of fans.
Yeah, he definitely has a lot of fans, but he definitely has a big, strong youth movement. So he has resonated with younger people, which I think is terrific. Why is that?
One of the keys in for him with the youth was the war thing. If you remember back in 2008, Obama was a peace candidate, and that's kind of, I think the anti-war people have realized that's not the case. And so a lot of the kids got into Ron Paul because he was the only consistent voice about the dangers of American intervention. And then once they started listening to him, I think they also found, and I've talked to hundreds of these people, that he seemed to have the only way out of the debt crisis that young people understand is going to be a way bigger problem for them than it has been for their parents or grandparents. That the sort of kicking the can down the road of debt can't get kicked very much farther. And while that's kind of a scary message, too, it's also hopeful because Ron Paul also explains to the kids, look, we can have this. Like, we can return to constitutionally limited government. Ron Paul actually had a budget plan that got us to a balanced budget in 3 years without any tax raises, which is better than any other Republican candidate. So he sort of shows the youth, hey, we've given you an enormous problem. Government overreach has given you an enormous problem, but it doesn't have to be the end of the world if you just sort of listen to what I have to say and elect more politicians who understand what Ron Paul understands.
Yeah. Now, having said that, why is it that he couldn't make the breakthrough and snag the Republican nomination because he's not the establishment guy?
That's a big part of it. I mean, the way that Ron Paul has gotten the fans he has is because in this modern internet wired age, you know, we can communicate with each other without some gatekeeper, whether it be Fox or whether it be MSNBC or the New York Times, telling us things. If people only knew what they heard from the big media, they wouldn't know anything at all about Ron Paul. He wins the fans he has because Ron Paul people communicate with themselves on the internet via YouTube. YouTube video, by the way, was the number one answer I got to the question, how did you first hear about Ron Paul? It was never seeing him on TV. It was never reading about him in the paper. It was some friend sending them a YouTube video. So that was a big problem to begin with. And our second problem, I think, is Ron Paul is really a radical guy, like especially for a guy running with the Republican Party. His message basically, he doesn't just say, hey, elect my side and not the other side and things will be fine. He actually, you know, has this message that says almost everything about what the U.S. government has been doing, whether it be its monetary policy, its fiscal policy, its foreign policy, has been a disaster and it can't go on the way it has. And people are very uncomfortable with that. Most people are. But Ron Paul did win this year, by the end of it, around 10-15% of all the votes within the Republican primary and caucus system, more than twice what he did last time. So his popularity is growing. And what I say in my book is because of how young his fan base skews, they're going to shape the future of the Republican Party in a way much more than the Romneyites of today understand. In the same way that the Goldwater kids in 1960 took over the Republican Party in 64 moving forward, I think we're going to see the same thing with the Ron Paul kids in the Republican Party in the next 4 to 8 years.
I said that I thought he would have some kind of a role in Tampa. Do you think he will?
I think his fans will. Here's how I think Romney sees it. I think Romney is politically intelligent enough to understand, I don't want to kick these Ron Paul people in the teeth. They are not just a crazy fringe. They are a significant part of the Republican family, so to speak. But that said, there's not much Mitt Romney can do to please a Ron Paul fan and still be Mitt Romney. The best he can do is not gratuitously offend them. So when you hear things like, oh, maybe there'll be a Rand Paul on the ticket, I think that's crazily unlikely. I think the best Mitt Romney can do with the Ron Paul people this year is try not to piss them off too much. But the Ron Paul people are going to be in the streets in Tampa. There's Ron Paul fans who are holding a sort of Ron Paul convention right before the real convention. So there's already going to be probably tens of thousands of Ron Paul people. There's this group called Combat Veterans for Ron Paul who are planning a protest march. Ron Paul will have probably a few hundred actual delegates on the floor. So their voices are going to be heard. I don't think the Romneys or the party establishment are going to be listening too carefully right now. But I think moving forward, you're going to see the party shifting because of what the Ron Paul people are doing this year, which includes not just sending delegates to Tampa, as you might know, but also sort of taking over state Republican Party apparatuses in Iowa, in Alaska, in Nevada. He won the delegations in Minnesota and Maine. Ron Paul did way better than most people think if they only were, you know, reading the New York Times.
There you go. I like that. So we know he affects the dialogue and moving forward. I think you so eloquently put it that this is the great comparison to Goldwater, the kids there and what will ultimately happen with the Republican Party in the future. So the old time Republican Party, they should really embrace this because it would mean that the Republican Party would have new life actually breathed into it, don't you think?
Yeah, and the great part of it is, for a Republican, is Ron Paul really is just what the Republican Party is supposed to be, like, turned up to 11, you know? He's, like I said, the Republican Party's supposed to be about limiting government and fiscal responsibility. Ron Paul's the only guy with a balanced budget and three-year plan. Mitt Romney actually was sort of challenged about Ron Paul's cut $1 trillion in 1 year plan, and Romney said, we couldn't cut that much in 1 year. It would hurt the economy. That's like Democratic Party Keynesian thinking, this idea that government spending is what keeps the economy going. You know, Ron Paul, he's very personally socially conservative, a religious man married to his childhood sweetheart, 5 kids, bunch of grandkids. He's religious. He's anti-abortion. He just doesn't want government interfering in people's personal lives, which upsets some Republicans about things like the drug war, which Ron Paul has said is something the federal government shouldn't be pursuing. But it seems to me the Republican Party shouldn't have that big a problem with Ron Paul. I mean, I know one of the big issues, I don't want to glide over it and act like I'm ignoring this issue, is the foreign policy thing.
Yeah.
Most Republicans tend to believe that the U.S. government needs to project itself overseas more. But even on the foreign policy message, Ron Paul spins that in a very conservative way. He appeals to the founding fathers, to this notion that, hey, the America was not supposed to be involved in these entangling alliances overseas. It is not the purpose of the U.S. military from those founding principles to try to manage the world. And he also, of course, says we can't afford it anymore. So there's a very conservative way to spin that as well. So I think it shouldn't be that hard for Republicans to look at Ron Paul and go, hey, this guy has a lot going for him.
I agree. And we have 1 minute left, but I'm curious, what now for Ron Paul? Because, you know, this is it. The congressman says, no more with Congress. So I think that's a big loss.
I think it is, too. I mean, he is like 77 years old. I do not begrudge him a retirement, but I'm also quite sure from following him around for the past year for my book, he's not going to be a politician anymore, but he's going to move on to being what he already has been, really, the great intellectual spokesman for the cause of liberty and constitutional government. I mean, even as the campaign winds down, he's still drawing record crowds of kids to college campuses. I saw 7,000 kids come out to see him here at UCLA. So Ron Paul is still going to be a major figure in the American scene, sort of escaping the bonds of electoral politics and just becoming, you know, the great sort of statesman for liberty that he has always wanted to be.
Yeah. If somebody wants to pick up your book, Brian, where can they get it?
Amazon is a great place. You know, they deliver straight to you, and it's a great discount. And, hopefully the Barnes & Noble's near you. But Amazon's right at your computer screen.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Brian, don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you again in the future. Great stuff.
Love to have being here. Thanks a lot.